Welcome to the Faith Lighthouse Church Message of the Week. We hope that you enjoy this teaching. For more information about this message and other resources, visit mylighthouse.church.
Today we're beginning a new series called Life Preservers. And if you walked in the church and wondered, well, are we going to sink? What's going on? Well, we're not sinking, but sometimes you may feel in life that you are sinking. And this whole summer series is geared around the promises of God. That we have been given promises by God, and we can hold on to those promises, and we're going to refer to them as life preservers over the course of the next couple of weeks as we look at God's Word and we look at the promises that He has given to each and every one of us. This is going to be a fun summer. We've already kicked off summer with our mega sports camp this past week, and again our movie night coming up on this Saturday, and we also have a whole lot of other events that we have planned this summer. On your way out, on the table on the left hand side, there's a card, an information card on the back side of that, of all the events and things that we have lined up for this summer, so you can be a part of, you and your family, to make some memories this summer. And a part of that is our summer series called Life Preservers. And as we begin this series today, I hope that you're with us for the entirety of this series, because I really believe that this is going to encourage us in our faith and give us some things to hold on to in the middle of life's troubles and difficulty as they come. You see, we're privileged to live in a state where we can go out pretty much on the water virtually any time during the year, whether it's in the middle of January or the middle of July, we can go out on the water. We can go swimming, fishing, going out on the boat, whatever we would like to do, because we have the privilege of living where people vacation. You know, it shocked my kids to tell them that there are people that save up for years and years and years just to take their family to Disney World on vacation. It just absolutely blew their mind that, wait a second. You mean people save like lots and lots of money over the course of many years just to go to Disney World? Like the place that we can go every day if we wanted to? Yes, because we live where people want to vacation. So we have this privilege and opportunity to enjoy all that Florida has to provide, from the beautiful scenery to the water and everything that we have. You know, living in Kansas for a couple of years, I experienced many things that I was unprepared for, being a Florida boy, all right? Growing up in Florida, I had never seen a frozen lake. Never saw a frozen body of water in Florida unless I took it outside of a freezer. That's just the reality of it. Nothing freezes in Florida for an extended period of time, except for those 2 days and maybe late January or in February when we might dip down to, you know, 29 or 30 degrees. But so I'd never seen a frozen lake, and through our town, we lived in a small town in Marysville, Kansas. I'm sure nobody knows where that is. Don't worry about it. It's okay. Driving through the small town of Marysville, Kansas, there was a little pond off the side of the road, off the major highway through town. And it was fascinating for me to see that during the winter months that this pond had frozen over. I was fascinated by that. I'm like, wait a second, you're meaning to tell me that, like, if I was to go out there and walk on that water, that, like, I could walk on it because it's frozen? That's not something that I had ever seen growing up in my life before. But one thing that I learned through not my own difficulties, but somebody told me, now you have to be careful, but yes, you can walk on that water, but you have to make sure that the ice is thick enough. Sure, it may look like it's frozen, but if you step on it, it may not be so thick that you might drown yourself by going through the water. And so you have to take precautions. Here in Florida, because of the water and because of the boats and everything we're on, yes, we can enjoy year-round, but we have to take precautions. You usually, when you go out on a boat, you take your life preservers with you. We were on my brother-in-law's boat not too long ago, and he invited us out and took us out on the boat and made sure that all the kids had their life preservers. And my kids thought it was just this fun thing that they were able to put these life jackets on and all these other, like, I'm like, life jackets aren't cool, right? Like, am I missing something here? Like, it's not a fashion statement. But they thought it was the greatest thing ever. They've got their life jackets on and all those things. But we wear those and we have those in our boats because in the unfortunate event that something happens that we can do and we have something to hold on to just in case the boat goes down. Now, if you like pontooning or pontoon boats, I don't mean to offend you, but I will never step foot on another pontoon boat in my life. Because the 3 times that I have been on a pontoon boat, they have sunk. All 3 times. And I have been assured every time I get on one of them, it's not going to sink. Everything's going to be fine. Don't worry about it. And I've done that three times, and three times is enough. I'm not doing it again. Every time I get on one of those things, something happens and we sink. I remember one time as a kid, like we didn't just like sink a little, like we had to jump out of the boat. At that point, we needed life preservers. We needed life jackets to help us get to shore because we were in the middle of a lake. Life preservers are a great invention and they are a great thing. They are there to help us in times of trouble. Hopefully, we never have to use them, but they're there in the event of an emergency. God's word, his Bible, God's word to us, we find reference after reference of God's words to us, his promises to us, his life preservers to us that we can hold on to in times of trouble. We hope that we're never going to need them, but they are there just in case we need them. And so over the course of the next couple of weeks, we're going to be looking at these promises, these life preservers that God has for us, that when life gets difficult, that we have his word to hold on to, that we have something that we can grasp a hold of when we can't keep our head above water, when we feel like when we're sinking, when we feel like you're in the middle of a lake and the pontoon boat is going down, that you've got something to hold on to, spiritually speaking. Now, you may be a skeptical person. You may be a skeptical person and believe that promises are nothing more than an opportunity for a good intention to be easily discarded. You may look at promises as nothing more than just an opportunity for somebody to let you down. Now, the reason why you may feel that way or you look at promises that way is because somebody has hurt you. Somebody has made a promise to you and they've let you down, not once, not twice, but three or four or many times. Just like the pastor from Africa who came over to America to share what God was doing in his country. He was going on the speaking tour around the country and he was visiting different churches. And he happened on this one church, and the pastor asked him aside one day, he said, "What do you need? What immediate thing could we provide for you to help you right now?" And the pastor from Africa, without blinking an eye, he said, $1,000. And the pastor said, "Okay, $1,000, but can I ask what for?" And he said, "Well, we have a broken down van at our church, and we have a couple orphanages, and we have a couple schools that our churches are affiliated with. And right now, I'm having to ride my bike between the orphanages and the schools, and it would be of great benefit to me and to our churches if I had our van up and running so I could visit everybody." And so the pastor said, "Absolutely." He said, "We will write you a check for $1,000, and so you can get your van fixed." So the pastor was, as you can imagine, overwhelmed with excitement. He just knew that this was an answer to prayer, that they had been believing that they were going to receive $1,000 that God was going to provide for them. So he gets back to Africa. He tells his staff, he tells everybody that this church from America is sending us $1,000. A couple days go by, a couple weeks go by, a couple months go by, no check in the mail. So he felt a little bit challenged to call the pastor and just say, "You know, I know what you're going to do is a good thing for us, but where's the money, man?" I mean, come on, you promised to do it. So, you know, how do you ask somebody that has promised to give you $1,000? They haven't sent it. Like, you're kind of in this awkward position. Do I ask? Do I not ask? But he said, I just need to ask. I need to know. Maybe he got lost in the mail and they thought that we received and we haven't. So he called the pastor and said, "You know, I just want to follow up. We haven't received the check. Is it coming? Is it in the mail? Have you mailed it?" And the pastor said, I apologize. It's coming. It's coming. The check never came. You see, promises oftentimes are good intentions, but yet people will break their promises to us. And we see them as an opportunity for somebody to hurt us. We see a promise as an opportunity for somebody to let us down. No matter how big or how small it may be, that we just see as a promise as an opportunity for somebody to hurt us. But God's word is full of promises. God's word is full of commitments to us. So I want to ask you this question today. Has God ever let you down? Has God ever let you down? Or let me ask it this way. Have you ever felt that God didn't keep his word? Have you ever felt that God has not kept his word to you? Now, for some of you in this room today, you're saying, "Absolutely not. God has never let me down. He has been faithful. He has been with me and my family my entire life, and God has never let me down. God has always kept his word." But I know there may be some of you in here today that You don't necessarily feel that God has let you down or God has not kept his word, but maybe he hasn't fully fulfilled his commitment to you. Maybe he didn't come through in the way that you thought he should. We know that God has promised to protect us and to care for his children. He's promised to make us strong, to fill our hearts with joy, to give us peace. God's promised to even answer our prayers. Yet at some times in our lives and points in our lives, we feel those promises may be empty. You pray about your kids. You pray about their safety and their protection, but yet all they continue to do is make terrible choice after terrible choice after terrible choice and go, God, where are you right now? You promised to protect me and to care for me and my children, and I've prayed for my children, but yet they're still making these decisions that are hurting them. Where are you? Why haven't they turned from their ways? Maybe you've prayed for your spouse over and over and over again, and God, why aren't you doing something? Why aren't you answering my prayer? The more I seem to pray, the worse they seem to get. Or maybe every month you pray over your finances, and every month there seems to be more month than there is money. God, where are you? Didn't you say you were going to provide for my needs? Maybe you prayed for somebody, and they passed away because of cancer. And joy and peace seem like things that are far away and too distant for you to grab a hold on. Psalm 145:13 says, the Lord is trustworthy in all he promises and faithful in all he does. The Lord is trustworthy. What does that mean? What does that mean, the Lord is trustworthy in all he promises? That talks about God's character, his nature, who he is. So what about all these promises? Today, I want to lay a foundation for the promises of God. Today, I want to lay a foundation of encouragement for us to stand on God's promises and to encourage us on the life preservers that God has ultimately given to us. When God says something, when God makes a promise, it's based on more than just somebody's good intentions. Somebody may have promised you along the way that they were going to do something for you, and it was just a good intention. They never had, they wanted to, but in the back of your mind, you thought, they're never going to come through with this. They're never going to fulfill this promise. They're never going to do this. But God is giving us his word. You see, we used to live in a world where if somebody gave you a handshake, how many remember this? Where if somebody gave you a handshake promise, it was ironclad. What happened to those days? What happened to the days where you could have an agreement with somebody, shake their hand, and you knew the deal was done, they were going to follow through with their commitment? Now, we live in a world where you can shake somebody's hand, but you still need a document 100 pages thick and 5 lawyers to go through with it. We don't live in a day where you can just handshake something and go through, because unfortunately, people's character and who they are not what they used to be. Our values, our morals have changed. I would love to live in a world where we could just have an agreement with somebody by shaking their hand and knew that the deal was done. But now people are more concerned with their own self and how they can benefit themselves. And it doesn't matter what their word says, because their word is worth garbage. God's word is not garbage. God's word is truth. God's word is a promise because it's his nature and it is his character. Through the Bible, we see God's promises. But did you know that there is no word in the Hebrew for promise? There is no specific word in the Hebrew language for promise. There's no word in the Greek specifically for promise. But the idea and the principle behind the word promise is God stands behind what he says. God stands behind what he says. The promises of God are based on his perfect, his good, and trustworthy character. We can trust God because who he is. You used to be able to trust somebody with a handshake because you knew who they were. You knew their character. One of the things that I love about online shopping, not just for its convenience, but for the many other reasons, is that one of the things that I love online shopping is that you can go and you can see how somebody is reviewed. You can give, you know, somebody a 1-star rating, a 5-star rating, something like that. So when you go online, you can have 2 products, the same exact products, but you see one person has a 1-star review and one person has a 5-star review. What person are you going to buy from? the person with a 5-star review. Why? Because they have identified and they have dealt with people and people have reviewed their trustworthiness, that what they say they're going to provide, they're going to provide. That if I order this product from you, that you are going to ship it to me in a fast time, and what I order is going to be exactly what I get. It's like when you go online, and I had this experience happen to me, that I didn't check the reviews, I didn't check the ratings, I just looked at the price. Number one failure right there, especially. I ordered an extra large shirt, okay? I put on a couple pounds, all right? So I order this extra large shirt, and I get an extra large shirt. I could not button it up. I'm like, what? Obviously, this shirt came from China, and this fit an extra large person in China, not an American extra large, okay? There are two different, apparently an extra large person in China is an adult small in America, all right? So, forewarning, if you ever order anything that comes from China, order it like 5 sizes too large. What you order, what you get online, you can look on based on somebody's character and trustworthiness. I'm going to ship that shirt back, and I'm going to give them a 1-star rating because that is not the product that I wanted. Our relationship with God is based on trust. It's based on his character, his nature, who he is. People may have a hard time keeping promises to you, but God is different. God is different. God has all the power and wisdom of the universe at his disposal. God is never going to call you or send you a text message and say, sorry, not going to make it today. How many of we've all been on that end of the phone call? Somebody has promised us something or they're going to do something for us and we get that text message and you know because of the time that you got the text message that you know it's that person telling you they're not going to fulfill their promise. But God is never going to do that. God is never going to renege on a promise that he has made to us. What God promises, he will deliver. Now, we have to understand God's promises. This is where things get a little bit tricky, is that we see God's promises and we look in God's word and we say, God, you're supposed to be trustworthy. I said, well, why didn't you come through? Because some of God's promises are different. God's promises may be unique. So I want to take a moment and break some of these promises down. Some promises are unconditional promises. They are guaranteed promises to all humanity that God is going to hold up his end of the deal. There is nothing that is going to break his promise. Then there are promises that come with directives. There are promises that come with conditions. That if we are to receive those promises, the benefits of the promise, then there are things that we must do. Now, let's take a look at an unconditional promise. Genesis 9:11. I will establish my covenant with you. Never again will all life be cut off by the waters of a flood. Never again will there be a flood to destroy the earth. Now, God is making this promise to Noah, but he's making this promise to humanity. I have flooded the earth, but I will never do that again. There is nothing. I will never flood the earth again with water to destroy the earth. And we have the promise of a rainbow because of that. But we know that is a universal, unconditional promise. There is nothing that we can do that will change that promise. It will never be broken. That there is no conditions we must follow. God said, I will never flood the earth again, and that will never happen to destroy humanity. We see another unconditional promise in 2 Samuel 7:16. God promised King David that his royal line would last forever. Again, he's making that promise to David, but it's a universal promise that because of King David's lineage, his royal lineage, that it will never end. Well, how did God keep that promise? Well, if you go back in the genealogy of David, you see that God continues David's royal line all the way through Jesus, and Jesus became the king and now is in heaven and will live for eternity, thus the royal line going on for all eternity. That is a universal, unconditional promise that will never be broken. Nothing we can do to shatter that promise. Jesus makes another promise when he was about to go to heaven. He promised that the Holy Spirit would come. And in Acts 2, we see that the Holy Spirit came on the day of Pentecost, as we had spent the past few weeks talking in our series, Ghost Stories. That Jesus promised that the Holy Spirit would come, and it did. No conditions. It came. The Holy Spirit was there. Jesus also promised, and this is a great universal promise, that Satan's forces would never overcome the church in Matthew 6:18. There is nothing that will allow Satan to overcome the church. There is nothing that we can do to void out that promise. It is a universal, unconditional promise that the church will stand. And we can see that today. Look at how the church has been bombarded by the enemy, by the attacks of the enemy to try to divide the church. But yet, over 2,000 years later, we're still standing strong. Do we have our problems? Do we have our challenges? Absolutely. But God's church is still standing today, and it will stand. We see in Matthew chapter 16 and 25 that Jesus makes a promise that he would return to judge the living and the dead and fully settle his kingdom. These things God have promised in the future, but it's an unconditional promise that it will happen. We have not yet seen the fulfillment of those promises, but they will come to pass. There's nothing that we can do to stop those promises from happening. Again, God's word is full of promises that are unconditional. They are going to come to pass. They have already happened or will happen, and there's nothing that we can do to keep those things from happening. But yet there are conditional promises in the Bible as well. I see them as kind of like warranties. If you've ever bought like an extended warranty on a car or something that you bought from the store, usually it comes with a long list of things that you have to do. If you buy an extended warranty on your car, typically in that, it stipulates that the insuring company, we will fix your car should it break down, but there are things that you have to do. You cannot just run your car and never change the oil, the engine blows up, and then go to the extended warranty company and go, my engine blew up and I don't know why. The first question, did you keep the maintenance up with it? Well, no, I didn't really change the oil, but I didn't think that was a big deal because I got a warranty. That's not how it works. You have to fulfill your end of the bargain. You have to get the oil changed. You've got to do all the necessary required maintenance. Then if something breaks down, then the warranty company steps in and fixes the problem. There are conditional promises in the Word of God that we have to fulfill our part of the promise for God to fulfill his part of the promise. Think of the promise God made to Adam and Eve. In the garden, he promised, you will live for all eternity. You will be fruitful. But don't eat from the fruit of that tree over there. You can have all the promises, everything that I'm giving you, but there's a condition. Don't eat from that tree. If you do, void, forfeit, it's gone. And what do? They ate from the tree, they were kicked out of the garden. Conditional promise. That condition resulted in ultimately death for them and sin entering into the world. You see, our lives and the promises that God gives us, some are built on conditions for us. God made covenant promises with Moses and the people on Mount Sinai. I will prosper you. I will give you this land flowing with milk and honey. Just worship me. Have no God before me. And what did they do? 5 minutes later, they make an image of another God. God promised, I will give you all this stuff. And now they just voided it out. And their life became so much more challenging. They forfeited God's promises of long lives and prosperity. There are so many other examples that we could go through, but it's important that we see God's promises. Some are given with no condition, but some are given with conditions, that there are parts that we have to fulfill. Other promises are based on our actions, not just God's. And so we oftentimes wonder, God, why am I going through this? Why am I facing these challenges? Perhaps God is requiring something of us. That there's some things that we need to do, that God is fulfilling his end of the bargain, but have we been fulfilling ours? God, you promised me, fill in the blank. Why isn't it happening? Maybe we haven't done our part. Maybe we need to look back at the promises that God has spoken to us, or go back on the promises that we've been holding on to. Maybe we've been looking at things from a wrong perspective. If we want to stand on God's promises, if we want to hold on to those life preservers, then we need to take a look at exactly what they say. Our spiritual lives must be founded on what God says, not what we think it says, or not what we hope it says. But what does God's word say? We need to make sure that we're not misquoting God's promises. Oh man, I've heard a whole boatload of those. I've heard people saying, well, doesn't the Bible say this? And they're not quoting scripture at all. We went through that in our series a couple months ago. The Bible doesn't say that. That's one of the reasons why we feel like God has not fulfilled his requirement, because we're not even standing on to anything he ever said. It's something that somebody else told us from a cousin's brother, sister, aunt told them that told us. But that's not what God's word says, but we get upset at God and shake our fist. God, why didn't you do this for me? I didn't say that. So we have to be sure that what we're standing on, God says. There was something that I misquoted for years. In Matthew 16 and 18, it talks about binding and loosing. And I've prayed that prayer many times. And I believe that it was a promise that whatever we bind here on earth, we will bind in heaven. And whatever we loose on earth, that we will loose in heaven. And so I prayed that prayer and I believed it. And there were things that happened. I'm going, God, why didn't you do that? Well, when you study scripture, when you break it down, it's not talking about spiritual things. It's actually talking about church leadership and church authority. Jesus is saying to the church that whatever decision you make as a church and authority, it'll happen on earth. It'll be loose in earth. It'll be loose in heaven. It'll be bound in earth. It'll be bound in heaven. He's talking about kicking somebody out of the church because they're sinning, not because of a spiritual warfare that I'm binding a demon here on earth. What? How did I get that so wrong? Because I heard somebody else pray it. I heard somebody else quote it, and I believed it. And then I got frustrated. God, why isn't this happening? Because I was reading his word wrong. I was misquoting scripture. And yet I was upset at God. And he's going, you didn't take the time and weren't diligent in studying my word. That was life altering for me. I promise you, it was life altering. God, how could I be so wrong? And it wasn't because I intentionally did it. It's just I heard somebody else. And then I took the time to study it. And it opened up so many things for me. Many times we pray and we're holding on to promises, or we're believing things that are not in God's word, or we're taking them way out of context. When things don't happen the way that we hope they are going to, perhaps we didn't fully understand the promise. There are promises that apply to everybody who calls planet Earth home. The promise of salvation is universal. The promise of salvation is for every person who calls on the name of Jesus. That's a promise based on God's character, who he is, his nature. People who diligently seek him will receive the rewards of diligently seeking him. But then there are promises that God speaks to us personally, but there are promises that God speaks to specific people in the Bible, or even specific groups of people in the Bible. There are promises that are not necessarily universal, but are for specific moments in time for specific people. We cannot take individual promises and make them universal for everybody. That is a wrong way to view scripture. We have to understand what's going on. We have to understand the context of what is happening. Joshua 1:3. I will give you every place where you set your foot. Now, that sounds like a great promise to hold on to. But that was a promise that God was speaking at that moment in time to assure the Israelites that where they go, he will be with them, that I will give you that place. But yet we have held on to that promise. Everywhere I take my step, God, you're going to be with me. Now, again, I'm not saying that's not a good thing to hold on to, but that was a promise for that moment in time. But there is a universal principle that we can pull out from it, that God will be with us wherever we go. That is a part of who God's nature is and a part of his character. But that specific verse was for a specific person at a specific time. It's a great promise to hold on to, but God, wherever I step, you know, if I'm buying a new house, God, you said wherever I take my foot, wherever I step, you're going to promise, but if you can't afford that house, that's not God's promise. God wants us to be wise and good stewards of all that he has given to us. While there are great promises of God that he has given to all of us, we have to be mindful of who he is speaking to when we read his word. We have to be mindful of what God is speaking to us and what he is speaking universally. And that is the goal over the next several weeks, is that today is laying a foundation for us to understand that who God is, who is nature, who is character. When God says something, he will stick to his word. But are we understanding what he is saying? Are we holding on to the life preservers that he has spoken to us? Are we holding on to something that he has spoken to somebody else? Maybe we felt empty because of our relationship with God, because we've been holding on to things that were not meant for us. Or maybe we're holding on to things and we're holding on to promises, but we haven't fulfilled our end of the promise. If you're here today and you feel that God has let you down in some way, then maybe it's time to reevaluate the promise, to look back in His Word and see exactly what it is saying. Was it specifically something God spoke to you, or maybe you didn't fully understand the context as I did in Matthew 16 and 18? Perhaps you didn't do your part to fulfill the promise. Maybe the promise wasn't specifically for you, but to somebody else. There is one thing that is for certain. God's promises are backed up by His character and His nature. When we understand and we fully grasp His promises, we know that it's an ironclad agreement, a handshake, firm commitment based on His character and His nature. Sometimes our emotions get in the way. Sometimes our emotions have a way of taking over our lives. Wrong emotions can overrule right thinking. Maybe you've been hurt along the way and you blame God for not doing what He promised to do, but maybe it was the emotions of the moment. The death of a loved one can cause us to lose perspective if we allow our feelings to override the truth about God. A failed marriage or romance can trigger doubts about God. We can't allow our personal rejections or failures, the loss of a job or physical pain or injustice, to stir up feelings against the person and the nature of God. In 1967, there was a missionary family. They were traveling from the United States over to Africa. And the two boys that were part of the family, they were playing with some G.I. Joe figures. And there was an engineer on the boat. And the engineer, he was noticing the boys playing with the G.I. Joes. And he, you know, struck up a conversation with the family, and he went into this detail. He's like, you know, I've got two older sons. I live in New York, and when I saw your sons playing with the G.I. Joes, it reminded me of when my kids were little. Now they're grown and they're teenagers, and they don't play with the G.I. Joes that they used to. And he said to the father and to the two boys, he said, when I get back home to New York, I'm going to send you all the G.I. Joes that my boys don't play with anymore. The two little boys were ecstatic. Yeah, we're going to get new G.I. Joes. It's going to be awesome. Again, this was 1967, all right? So G.I. Joes were awesome back then. Now they'd be like, what's a G.I. Joe? I'm on my phone playing Fortnite. What? So the boys were just ecstatic, and the dad didn't have the heart to tell him to kind of break it down and say, you know what, don't get your hopes up. You know, but the dad was thinking, this guy, I mean, we're in the middle of the Atlantic Ocean. We're going to some very remote place in Africa. What is the likelihood that he's going to take us to where we're going, go back to New York, box up all the G.I. Joes, and send them to this place in Africa for my boys to play with? But he didn't have the heart to tell the boys, all right? How many parents is that you, that you've ever thought that? Like somebody makes a promise to your kid, and you're like, oh, why did you promise that? He's like, I just don't have the heart to tell them. So they get back home, and they're there for several months. And one day, he goes to the mailbox, and he gets a box. And it's addressed from New York. And he opens it up, and it's a box full of G.I. Joes. He gives it to his sons, and they are absolutely ecstatic. Because now they've been in Africa for several months now, and they haven't gotten any new toys, anything else. And now they've got this box of G.I. Joes. He fulfilled his promise to those boys. He fulfilled his commitment. You see, God will fulfill those promises in times that we may not think that He's going to come through. But God will keep His promises to us if we are understanding of the commitment, if we're understanding the truth of the promise. That if God has promised us something and we know that it is true, that God is speaking to us, that God will never fail us, that God is faithful. In John chapter 27 and verse 30, Jesus gives us this assurance. My sheep listen to my voice. I know them and they follow me. I give them eternal life and they shall never perish. No one will snatch them out of my hand. My Father who has given them to me is greater than all. No one can snatch them out of my Father's hand. I and the Father am one. What a promise that we have. And again, in Hebrews 13, 15, nothing can separate us from the love of God. Never will I leave you. Never will I forsake you. Those are promises that we can hold on to. Those are promises that we can count on. When life is difficult, when life is challenging, those are promises that are universal with no conditions that we can hold on to. All across the room, if you would stand this morning as we close today. I don't know what's going on in your life right now. I don't know if things are going absolutely amazing. Life is good. Life is wonderful. And you're like, there's no need for life preservers. Everything's good. Everything's great. Or maybe you're here today and you're like, man, I need five of them right now because I cannot keep my head above water. Please, somebody help me. However you are here today, there is promises that God has given to us. And if you feel like you are drowning, if you feel like you are sinking, I want to encourage you today that there are universal promises from God that we can hold on to. And the last one that I just quoted from Hebrews 13:5 is a universal promise. Never will I leave you, never will I forsake you. God will never cast you aside. We may walk away from God, but He will never walk away from us. That's a promise to hold on to. That's a life preserver that keeps our head floating when all of life is crashing around us. There are promises that God has given to every single one of us. And I want to encourage you today, with every head bowed and every eye closed, that there is a universal promise of salvation for every single person. That Jesus came to this earth and He died on a cross for every person and all of our sins. That all we have to do is confess our sins and believe on Jesus, and we will have the promise of eternity with God forever. That is a universal, unconditional promise given to every person. All we have to do is be willing to say, Jesus, I believe in you. That promise will never be taken away from humanity. It is for humanity. And if you're here today, I want to encourage you to simply say that prayer today, just to simply invite Jesus into your life. Say, Jesus, I believe in you. Forgive me of my sins. I feel like I'm drowning in life, and I feel like I have no direction. I've been lost. Or maybe you were serving God at one point in time, but now you've drifted away, and you just need that life preserver. Say, God, I want to come back to you. Then simply say that prayer. That is a promise. Never will I leave you. Never will I forsake you. Maybe you need to hold on to that promise this morning. Maybe you're here today and you just got a whole lot of life thrown at you, and you just feel like you're drowning. I want to encourage you that God is with you. That is a universal promise. That maybe this week that you dig deeper into God's word than you've ever dug before. You say, God, I need more. I need more of you. I need more of you to hold on to. I want all of your promises in my life. I want to know exactly what they are to me and my family. I need the encouragement. Holy Spirit, reveal them to me. That no matter what challenges that we're facing, we know that you will never let us sink. And if you feel like you're sinking today, please don't walk out of this place not knowing that there is a Savior to save. Father, right now in the name of Jesus, I pray for every single person. If there's anybody in this room today that they need to have the assurance of Christ in their lives, may they know that and may they speak that right now in the name of Jesus. And if that's you right now, just simply say that, Jesus, I believe in you. I believe that you died for my sins. I believe in you. I know that salvation only comes through you. Maybe you just need to recommit yourself to Him. Say, Jesus, I recommit myself to you. Speak those words. I recommit my life to you today. Or maybe you're here today and say, God, I just need more of your promises. I feel like I'm drowning. Help me keep my head above water. That He is here for you today. Be encouraged that He is here. That His promises will never end. Maybe there are things that you need to do. Maybe some part of the promises that God has spoken, and maybe there are some part of the commitments that you need to do. Holy Spirit, reveal that to us today. That maybe we haven't seen the promise fulfilled because we haven't done our part. Whatever that may be today, God, I pray that you would reveal that to us. Heavenly Father, we thank you so much for loving us with an everlasting love, for the promise of eternity through giving your Son. May every person leave this place today knowing that you are indeed with them, that that is a promise for all of us. We thank you. We praise your holy name. May you be glorified in everything that we say and everything that we do. In the strong and powerful name of Jesus, we ask all these things. And everyone says, amen and amen. Life preservers. They're for all of us. Universal promises from God.
Thanks for listening to the message of the week. If you've enjoyed this teaching, would you consider a gift to support the ministry of FLC? Visit mylighthouse.church/give. Faith Lighthouse Church is located at 3409 Paul Buckman Highway in Plant City, Florida. Our weekly worship services are held on Sundays at 11 a.m. We also have various life groups and programs for all ages that meet throughout the week. We'd love for you to be a part of what God is doing in Plant City.